God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on the Inside Outside Church. That will make more sense in just a moment, but you need to know as we begin the broadcast, Dr. Don wants you to know we're here for you. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. As a matter of fact, while you're there, take a look at Faith in the Midst of Crisis. It's a powerful resource from Dr. Don, and right now, more than ever, there are crises we are facing. Faith in the Midst of Crisis is a powerful, encouraging word for you, and it's online at tewonline.org. Now let's open our hearts and our Bibles together to Acts chapter 2 as we take today's story inside the outside church and understand what that really means for all of us. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
God has put a very deep word in my heart today. And you know, as I begin, as we continue to worship like this, and I want to say to you how very dearly that I love you today. And I love my church. And for the thousands of you who are able to worship with us through the Encouraging Word broadcast, I pray that you too love your church. There are many of us, aren't there? All around the world. I want to tell you something about myself. About 7-8 years ago, I really started to not feel so good. Now, by that, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I love food and I love football, watching football, especially on my couch. And I love life, and I'm just a normal fella, you know. And but I was getting listless, kind of just tired. And you know, there were a lot of people that spoke into me, people like John Langford, who's one of my dear friends, is a deacon in our church and owns and operates the Nautilus Fitness Center. People like that, my wife, others. Don, you need to get yourself in order. Now, what's that got to do with enjoying life? I mean, what's that got to do with it out there? And so, for the last however long, all I can say to you is that I try. I'm like a yo-yo. I'm up one minute and down the next. I try, but I do. I can actually stand here and say I try. Karen and I walk mostly, probably almost every day, at least 4 miles together. Almost every day. And I get home late at night sometimes, but we still do it. A lot of reasons, but the bottom line is that I feel better, and I'm more productive out there. Now, God gave to us the church, and that's the reason, because all of us who are in the church, part of the church, we really do want to be productive out there. It's got to begin in here. It's the way God designed it. Don't make light of the essential deep meaning of your church, the local body, this gathering of believers. This is God's design. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. You need to listen to this. I want to speak to you today about the inside-outside church. Just think about the title of this message. God put this in my heart. The inside, outside church. If I want to wake up most mornings feeling fairly good, and if not better, if I want to serve well into my years, If I want to really enjoy my grandkids and be able to get down with them, if I want to be able to be active, alert, be able to smile, you know what I got to do? Everybody watch me. Let me tell you what I got to do. The more I don't take care of my own body, the more I ignore what my doctor says, the more I just continue to eat away, do whatever I want, the less productive I'm going to be. I punish myself. Watch me. Some of you need to get with it, because all of us identify with this. It's like, oh no, I don't think I can stand this. What does it involve? Discipline, determination, knowledge. This is what God's word teaches us. I'm just going to read this to you. So I'm going to be in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. As the new church gathered, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And awe came upon every one of them. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as all had need. Any person had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So here's what we need to listen to, because we're living in a day and age today where more and more people are saying the church, you know, I don't need the church. I can just do my own thing. Not according to the way God says it. Doesn't work, because it's not God's way. So I want to share with you God's truth. This has been a hard lesson for me growing up, because in my younger years and my teen years, I didn't always like the church. No, because the church didn't always suit me. Who, by the way, who said the church has to suit you? Where did you get that from? Church needs to suit what you want. Forget it. Church doesn't suit me. The church is designed for me, because God knows better. And when I understand that and I say, Lord, I will submit to you, the joy is unspeakable. So what happened on the inside of the church? If we're going to talk about the inside, outside church, what does the Bible tell us at the beginning of the New Testament church? What was it that they devoted themselves to? What ought to be the pillars upon which the church is built? They devoted themselves to four things. Number one, the apostles' teaching. So teaching. Now teaching through the preaching of the word, through life groups, through it's studying, teaching, hearing, speaking, looking at God's words, like what we're doing right now. And incidentally, the Bible qualifies that. They devoted themselves to the, whose teaching? Your pastor is very important. This is a challenge to pastors. Life group teachers, all look at me. Be careful. In the church, and I want you all to know this, I, as your pastor, cannot give permission to any teacher in this church just to do your own thing. Now, I want you to just think of the impending potential danger of something like that. If we just said to all of our Sunday school, man, whatever cranks your tractor, go do it. We would be in violation of the word of God. That's why some people don't like the church. They don't like to be told what they're going to teach. But we don't tell people what to teach. We teach what needs to be taught. That's why you're so safe in a church like this, because we're a Bible-believing church. Dr. Eric Kirkendall, who works for me, I charge him with the responsibility of making certain that every one of our life groups are teaching what the apostles believed in, which was Christ-centered, Bible-based. Any questions? Where does that come from? That's a Bible-believing church. Now, friends, I'm not up to negotiation on this, because the Bible says it. And I thank God that for decades, generations, that's the hallmark of this church. That's why I love this church. They devoted themselves to fellowship, that little word koinonia, getting together, having fun, eating food, giving one another high fives. You should have seen me going to baptize earlier this morning. I had to walk through the children's department. It's no wonder I looked like that by the time I got over there. It's fellowship. It's getting down. It's hugging. Being together. It's friendship. It's telling each other we love one another. Do you know, there's not a lot of that out there in the world today. That's why God gave us the church, because we have like-minded fellowship. Third thing they devoted themselves to was the Lord Jesus Christ. The breaking of bread together. What is that, by the way? It means a Christ-centered. Everything in the church is focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's why they broke bread. Biggest compliment anybody could ever pay us, you, me, is that all we ever seem to talk about is Jesus. Have you ever had someone come and tell you that the church should be this and that? No, church should be about Jesus. It's not negotiable. We're all totally subservient. We worship Him.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the entire message in just a moment, but Dr. Don wants me to let you know we're here for you. If you need to talk or pray, you can connect keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org or give us a call at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. Now back to today's message, Inside Outside Church with Dr. Don Wilton.
And the fourth thing is prayer. It's what it says here in the text, verse 42, they devoted themselves to prayer. So on the inside of the church, they gathered themselves and their devotion had four foci, four pillars of the church. Very clearly, the teaching of the apostles. In other words, on the deep doctrinal truths concerning who Jesus is. That's why I try, I don't always succeed. I don't get up here and just tell you one story after another. Do you know how popular that is? Do you know how many people want to go to church so they can hear nice stories? You don't tell stories and then use a little scripture every now and again to illustrate your story. You use scripture and you use stories to illustrate scripture. That's the church. Teaching, fellowship, Jesus, prayer. Now, what happened? I love looking at results. What did this produce on the inside of the church? It produced four things. Right there, verse 43, the first one is awe. Awe. A-W-E. Do you know what that word is? It's really the word there is the word reverential fear. Not fear like this, but a deep and profound respect. You know, you and I can talk about being parents. Don't we as parents deeply appreciate and love our children when they have a reverential respect for us? Our children, we have a lot of fun with them, and we get down with them, and we root for them. But never lose that fear. Church, watch me. Awe came upon them. When they were the church that Christ intended them to be, they were a people who didn't mess with God. None of them. They had a profound, that word there's a beautiful word. It's a profound love. You know what I'm saying? It's a deep bond. It's a warm embrace. It's of the highest order. Second thing is they experienced miracles. Bible says it there very clearly. Now, I love this point. I get stuck. It says, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Miracles happened on the inside of the church. How many of you, and I want you to raise your hands now. How many of you right now have got something in your life that you really need to ask God to do for you, and you know that God really is the only one who could do that? Would you just raise your hand? Keep your hand up. Lord Jesus, you said in your Bible that through the apostles, many signs and miracles happened. Lord Jesus, together with godly men and women in this church, I pray right now for every uplifted hand. I pray, Lord, those who are worshiping on television right now would reach out to that television set. And I pray because of Jesus Christ that you would answer prayers, that you would perform miracles, that you would heal sick people, that you would comfort hearts, that you would embrace the lonely, those who are struggling financially. Lord, at least somebody here has been diagnosed with something that is life, and I pray for healing. This happened on the inside of the church. Please, Lord Jesus, do this for us, please. I pray with our people. I cry out to you in Jesus' name, amen. The third thing that happened was togetherness. Now look here at verse 44. Verse 44, all who believed were together. Any further questions? I'm just telling you something, folks. This is profound stuff here. They were together. I'm going to show you how this impacts. And I haven't even got to outside. They were together inside, and the outside church caught it. You know what's going on in America today, folks? All right. Inside church, outside church. I'm just using togetherness. Number four, giving. Just in case anybody here, your mind is drifting right now, or you're at lunch already, or you're trying to get over that donut. No wonder you feel like you do. All right. Oh, that hurt. I know that hurt. I just repent right now and take it all back. All right. Four pillars in the New Testament that gathered: teaching, fellowship, the Lord Jesus Christ, prayer. What happened? Awe, reverence, fear, respect. Number two, miracles. Number three, togetherness. Number four, giving. Many of you look at me and you say to me, man, I can't afford to tithe. Watch me. You cannot afford not to. It's the greatest joy in the world. It's the greatest joy in the world. Try it. This is what came on the inside of the church. So what happened on the outside? Well, at least there's six things here. I'm going to give them to you in rapid succession. Maybe I should spend 6 weeks preaching on these things. What happened? Number one, met needs. Needs were met. Look at verse 45. As any had need. You know anyone out there who's got any needs? You want to come with me to the bridge? We got any needs in our community? I know you're going to say I'm bragging, folks. Is it any wonder our church is so engaged? We're involved everywhere. Starts right here. Well done. Continual refocus happened out there. Verse 46, the Bible tells us very clearly, day by day, they gathered in the temple together, in the temple courts. Listen, We are a very distracted people. I'm even tired of trying to listen to the news. It's just like a barrage of rubbish. It's just like perverseness. The behavior and the antagonism and the politics and the, I mean, it's just nonstop. We need constant refocus. Church. I'll guarantee you in a few minutes today, because you came to church, because you're worshiping today, God is refocusing us. Number three, life groups. What happened? Life groups. Man, I love that second part of verse 46. The Bible says they went from the temple into homes. Do you know that God's blueprint for the local New Testament church places a high value on small groups? That's why our life groups, our life group leaders. I've been looking at statistics. I don't bother you with statistics. You know, even since we began Let Worship Lead, we've got an 8% increase in many of our life groups with all the shuffle going on. I want everybody in our church to be in a life group because we've got the best life group teachers. We got Bible-centered people who are teaching the apostles' doctrine. Well, this was out there. Life groups are also designed to be in the neighborhood. Homes. You know where homes are? Where your neighbors live who need to know about Jesus. Praise and worship is a fourth outside of the inside church. Love that verse there. Verse 47. Praising God. You know, folks, I'm just one person here, but, you know, arrive here early this morning and go from one meeting to the next and get this and do that and help this and this way and then get all my stuff and charge upstairs and then get changed and jump into the swimming pool and then have a wonderful time of worship up there and then down again to try and get changed and dry myself off and get and brush my hair and make sure I got it all in order and then work in here. You think I just walk in here and we'll just get up here and just preach, you know, just do it. Let me tell you something, folks. I walked in here a few minutes late today and I just got caught up in worship. And God just took all the beauty of the high fives and the children and yesterday and visiting with sick people and community events and decisions that need to make and the news and politics and all these things. And just in a few moments as we let worship lead, God just takes my heart and reminds me that I'm just a sinner saved by His grace and that His Spirit lives in me and that He has a special plan for me and He's going to bless me and He's going to help me when I get up here so that by the time I get up here in the pulpit, in this particular instance, God has me where I need to be. How are you doing right now? Your spirit has been uplifted. Praise and worship. Number five, community impact. Bible says, I love this phrase here, having favor with all the people. Do you know, almost everywhere I go in our community today, I hear words of appreciation for the engagement of this church in the community. Having favor with all the people. It starts inside. You have a happy home at home. Watch what happens out there. The best gift you can give your children when they go to school on Monday morning is a happy house with mom and dad over breakfast on Monday before they leave. Dad, look at me. You cream your wife as you walk out the door, have an attitude, use a couple of choice words, storm out and then send your kid off to their school. Do you know what you just gave your child? Just a stone in their heart. And one more, which I think is the most important. Daily salvations. You know how we define the win around here? What happened in that baptistry? That's how we define win. Watch me. Lord's given us the bridge. I can talk to you, we will talk to you about food and clothes and health and all the rest. What's our win? That people would hear the gospel, know Jesus. The Bible says the Lord added daily. The inside church, the outside church. When the inside church follows what God says, the outside church follows what God wants. And God always keeps His promises.
What powerful truth, especially the reality that God keeps His promises. And sometimes we as the church, both inside and outside, fail in that. But I pray that even in our failure, you would see that God's grace has provided you and me a way to Him, a way to have a relationship with Him. And not just a relationship, but an adoption. God wants you as a part of His family, but you have to take the very first step. Again, we would love to pray with you, talk with you, maybe answer some questions if you have those at 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number, 866-899-9673. Or if you'd prefer, meet us online at tewonline.org. But before you talk to us, perhaps it's something that needs to take place between you and God. Open your heart as Dr. Don leads us in these next moments.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
The Lord has stirred your heart and you've given your life to Jesus. Let us know. Let us rejoice with you and let us put some free resources Dr. Don wants you to have in your hands. You can call us at 866-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. We'd love to help resource you with some things that will help you grow in your faith.
We are at a critical time in our nation. There is an urgency. Intolerance toward Christianity is rising. Religious freedom in America is under an ever-increasing attack like never before. Even though the number of attacks have risen, the good news is that the Word of God has not changed. Good will always triumph over evil. We cannot close our eyes and ears to what is going on in our world. Join us and become an encourager. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an encourager brochure today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. We are delivering the gospel with you and for you to others. Thank you for listening today.
How thankful I am for the Encouraging Word broadcast program. We have been watching your program for some time and really have been blessed. Thank you for sharing this wonderful word of our Lord and Savior each Sunday.
Our time's gone for today, but we'll stay in touch online at tewonline.org or 866-899-WORD. The Encouraging Word.